Krishna, Krishna, japiyete nam ji bolo. Krishna, Krishna, japiyete nam ji bolo.
This is music from Alice Coltrane, Turiya Satchitananda. Probably like you've never heard it before. Welcome to The Checkout. It's also a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. You should subscribe to it. I'm Simon Rentner. From the early 80s to the mid-90s, there aren't many commercial recordings available by this legendary harpist and pianist. Many of Coltrane followers didn't even think she was making music. Well, that's just not the case. On today's program, we investigate a new release of Alice Coltrane music from this very mysterious period of her life, when she was living inside her ashram Hindu temple on 48 acres just outside of Los Angeles. This music is on the release World Spirituality Classics 1, the ecstatic music of Alice Coltrane, Turiya Satchitananda. WBGO's Nate Shannon talks to two Coltrane devotees, harpist Brandy Younger and the pianist Courtney Bryan, about these newly discovered cassette recordings. This is The Checkout. I'm Simon Rentner.
I'm Nate Shannon for The Checkout.
You've been listening to Om Rama, a track from a new album called World Spirituality Classics 1, the ecstatic music of Alice Coltrane, Turiya Satchitananda. This is a compilation culled from cassette releases that she made from the early 80s into the mid-90s at a time when she was at the Shanti Antanam Ashram in Agoura, California. Now, I'm here with harpist Brandy Younger and pianist and composer Courtney Bryan. Brandy and Courtney have both been familiar with this music for some time, since well before this compilation release. And so I'm thrilled to have them here to talk about this spiritual music of Alice Coltrane. So welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, I'm so intrigued by this music and by this story because Alice Coltrane as a recording artist has been understood a certain way. And there's this period that consumers of her music know as a kind of blank spot. But it really was not a blank spot at all. It was full of music and it was full of energy. Can you tell me about your experience with this period in her life?
This period I didn't know about until she passed away in 2007. And it was at that memorial that I was very first introduced to some of this music.
That's so interesting because that memorial service at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in 2007, you played the harp in that performance and really sort of took on this, you had to step into some big shoes in that respect.
Yes.
And so it's interesting to think about that being not only a moment of remembrance, but also kind of opening the door for you in a certain way.
Yes, and I really had no idea, you know, in the moment what that would bring. But it was definitely a life-changing experience.
Courtney, what about you? What had you heard this music before?
No, really I learned about it when I was at Columbia. My advisor, George Lewis, I did a recording, and some of the piano styles he was telling me sounded in the tradition of Alice Coltrane. So then I started listening to her more. And around that time is when Franya Berkman wrote the book Monument Eternal on the life of Alice Coltrane. And also around that time, Brandy and I started working together in different contexts and everything. So I was learning about Alice Coltrane from Brandy as well.
visiting the ashram. What was that like? Was there anything surprising about just the setting itself or the energy there?
Yeah, a lot. So I knew I wanted to go, and it was in the opening part of the book, like Fran Berkman mentioned that she was introduced to the music, and then she's like, and then I went to the ashram, and so I was like, oh, I gotta go. I went 2 different years. The first year I went for a few days. It was part of my research at Princeton. When I got there, I just learned so much and I experienced so much.
So I feel like I'd like to track the development of Alice Coltrane's music from the really public-facing to the more sort of the ashram-specific, like, inward turning. So one way to do that is to listen to the title track of Journey in Satchidananda, which is an album that was released on Impulse with Pharoah Sanders on saxophone. So let's hear a little bit of that title track as it was released publicly. That was Journey in Satchidananda, the title track of an album by Alice Coltrane on the Impulse label. Do you have a relationship with this particular track and with this album?
This is the song or the track that most everyone that knows her music knows. So I know personally for me in concert, whenever there are Alice Coltrane fans in the audience, that's what they ask for. That's what they want to hear. That's the song that they always recognize. Mm-hmm. I really think that that is probably her staple tune.
What makes it so? Do you feel like that reputation is deserved? Does it create an incomplete picture of her? What do you think of that?
I wouldn't say it paints an incomplete picture at all, but it's something about that bass line. Mm-hmm. You know, that is consistent throughout, and everyone recognizes it as soon as it starts. And then in come the glissandi, which is basically that signature sound that she created, and that's what everyone knows, and that's what everyone connects to, that bass line and the glissandi. Not to downplay the awesome horn playing. But, you know, the horn playing is on so many tracks. It's transformative. It kind of can bring you to another space, but it still feels good. It's always got that groove that's going. So it's sort of a way to step outside the box while still having a foot planted on the ground.
This album comes out in 1970, several years after her husband John Coltrane had died. Was this album, in your view, really instrumental in terms of establishing the Alice Coltrane that we know as her own recording artist and as a composer and musical thinker and a force in the music?
I think so.
I do feel like this album made a break It felt like, and especially that track itself, it was just very much like, this is the Alice Coltrane sound and the introduction to a lot of what was going to come.
That we didn't know was going to come.
Yeah. Well, that's a perfect pivot to another version of this same musical theme, which appears on the new release, World Spirituality Classics 1, The Ecstatic Music of Alice Coltrane, Turiya Satchidananda. So this is another version of Journey in Satchidananda. I think they've titled it Journey to Satchidananda on this release. So let's hear a little bit of this track. There's such a liturgical sound to the arrangement of these materials. And, you know, it makes sense because this is a place of devotional practice. The ashram was a sacred place. But it's interesting because, Brandy, you mentioned the glissandi being a real defining characteristic of the original version of this song. And that's been completely replaced in this version. It's synthesizers and a kind of organ, and then a choral vocal. So can you both tell me about your impressions of this arrangement and what it tells us about the journey that she's taken in her musical life?
So this record, this was the first time I heard this when this record came out. I didn't know that this recording of that piece existed. So it blew my mind. Because I heard it and I said, this sounds like a stretched out version of Journey in Satchidananda. And after listening to it a few times, I think the thing that really stuck out to me the most was the tempo. She really takes it slow. Mm-hmm. So it's almost prayer-like in the way that it is played and it is sung. All that organ, of course, which had become her signature and is common on all of these recordings. But literally the lyrics, it's really devotion in a prayer-like setting. So that was what I gathered from this recording that was a bit different than the original.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Courtney?
From what I learned, like talking about the process of how they record it, was they said for most of the music, all of the recording would start in the mandir. So she had this recording device. It might have been a DAT recorder or something of that was big at that time. So she had a recording device and record the voices in the mandir, so the actual worship, and then bring it into a studio, and they would overdub voices and add other parts. And the last step usually was that she would go in there with the synthesizer.
There's almost a folkloric field recording quality to some of this because these are congregational vocals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't have the polish of a professional production. But then she does these things, as you say, that are very state of the art. Mm-hmm. And even kind of, I think the word Afrofuturist has been applied to these recordings.
This just came to my mind. Another thing about this recording of the song and the other one is there was no label pressure. Mm-hmm. There was no... This could have been the way she wanted to record it in the first place. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it sort of symbolizes a place of growth. Like, this is settled. Paramanin
கண்டத்தில் மகிழ்வோம்.
I'm here with harpist Brandi Younger and with pianist and composer Courtney Bryan, who is now an assistant professor of music at Tulane University in her hometown of New Orleans. And we are talking about Alice Coltrane and the music on the new release, World Spirituality Classics 1, the ecstatic music of Alice Coltrane, Turiya Sajjatananda. Brandi, you in particular have interpreted music by Alice Coltrane. There's a track on this compilation that you regularly perform. So I'd like to hear a little bit of the ashram track, Rama Rama, and then we'll hear a little bit of one of your performances of that song. Let's hear a little bit of Rama Rama from these ashram recordings. Singing. There's something really deeply riveting about her voice.
I think many of us had the same reaction when we first heard her voice. I said, who's singing? Her voice is, it's very rich, it's very deep, and it really fits right along with her playing, whether she's down in the bass or whether she's up here in the top. It's just so rich is the word that really comes to mind. It's moving, mm-hmm. Very moving.
I was just interested in the importance of the voice in general with the practice and the Vedantic tradition. Even if in singing in Sanskrit, she was saying you're communicating. Even before you translate the words and know what they mean, it's like you're communicating through singing. So it's very haunting.
Mm-hmm. Haunting,
It's haunting. And another word that pops into my mind is tactile. For some reason, like there's a real grain to her voice too that is, it reminds me of like speaking to. You know, there's a real way in which she's not projecting the way that a trained singer would project, but she's a great singer, nevertheless. You know what I mean? There's a real
organic.
It's very
quality.
Organic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So on this track, Rama Rama, this is expressly a devotional track, a devotional song. When did you first think about bringing this into performance and arranging it for your ensemble?
Well, I was introduced to the piece when I went to visit the ashram. We played her, had the incredible opportunity to play her music, and I was introduced to it then. And I arranged it for three harps. And then after the birthday concert in California ended, years went by. And I don't know what made me pull it out, but I just said, you know, this, I had such a wonderful time learning the piece. How could this really work? You know, how can I bring it from what it is to make it work on harp or with bass or with drums? And I think the first time we played it was at Abyssinian Baptist Church, where we did this tribute of her music with Ravi. And he said, oh, this tune sounds really good. And I was like, oh, you like it? So then from then on, I just began to add it to my repertoire, and it's been a part of it ever since.
Is there a particular challenge in translating the energy of that song to that performance context, or does it feel totally natural making that transition?
It feels totally natural, but I would be lying if I said it wasn't due to the help of the other musicians that I'm working with.
So I found a version of you performing this song on YouTube. So let's hear part of Rama Rama as performed by Brandy at SoFar New York. This was on October 13th, 2015, and you can see the full performance of this song on YouTube. That was the Alice Coltrane composition Rama Rama, adapted from a devotional song, and that was a performance by harpist Brandy Younger with her group. I'm here with Brandy and with pianist and composer Courtney Bryan, who is now an assistant professor of music at Tulane University in her hometown of New Orleans. And we are talking about Alice Coltrane and the music on the new release, World Spirituality Classics 1, the ecstatic music of Alice Coltrane, Turiya Sanjitananda. There has been a really amazing response to this album. It was just released earlier this month, and it was released by the Luwaka Bop label, David Byrne's label, which has often been dedicated to world music. And it has been greeted with an incredible amount of enthusiasm. And I wondered if you had any thoughts on why this music would resonate so strongly now with so many different kinds of people.
I think, like Courtney said, it's timeless. And this was all recorded before we were both born, relevant to us years ago, relevant to us now, and relevant to people, to generations that are younger than us. So I think that you were spot on with saying that. Also, I think the love for her is just so huge that to hear this release that people really haven't heard is more exciting than anything else.
Mm-hmm. The music's very healing. So it's interesting in so many levels. Like, it's interesting to analyze, you know, as very creative music, and then and to know the story behind it. But just the experience of hearing it, it's a very healing music. So the fact that it's released and more people will have access to it, I think it's just very exciting. And I can just imagine that even if people didn't know they needed it, they find out when they hear it. Like, that's how I felt being introduced to it. I'm like, oh, this is what I've been needing. So
yeah,
I think it's relatable. One of the things I always say is that this style of music, she literally created herself. It's not just one style of music. It's gospel, it's jazz, it's Hindu, it's everything mixed in together. And these traditions combined is what it is. So it's really, really relatable on many levels.
I was thinking about that and how much of the African-American spiritual tradition lives in this music that she made. And I was thinking, like, really the proper term for this would be soul music.
Yeah.
You know, like soul in every sense
literally,
of that word.
Yeah.
Feel like their release now and the fact that so many people are coming to this music sheds some new essential light on her life and on her music? Do we understand her better? Do more people understand her better than did before?
I would think so.
Those who are fascinated can find the full, you know, the full recordings that each of these tracks came from.
And right. Like, and if you thought nothing was happening at that time, think again.
Yeah. Boom. Boom. Here's some
booyah.
Here's some evidence.
Ravi said that his mom was always playing music, always recording music, and never stopped, ever.
Yeah. Well, there is an event that people should know about coming up, and this is the final event in this year's Red Bull Music Academy. On May 21st, at the Knockdown Center in Maspeth, New York, in Queens, there will be a concert called The Ecstatic World of Alice Coltrane, Turiya Sanchitananda. And there are two components to this concert. And the first is, at sunset, there will be a performance by the Sai Anantam Singers from the ashram. And so this will be a sunset performance of the sort of vocal call and response and the devotions, sort of as if we're transplanting that energy from Agoura, California, from the ashram to New York City. And then later in the evening, there will be a performance by Ravi Coltrane with Brandi Younger and Courtney Bryan, Desron Douglas, David Vireas, Reggie Workman, Jeff Tane Watts, and others. What are you looking forward to with this evening? It sounds pretty amazing.
Okay, I'm extra excited. I'm just ready to take in the whole experience. I mean, it's one of those things where if I wasn't also part of it, I would definitely try to like be in town and be at that because it's such a unique experience. So to hear the ashram singers in that tradition and Ravi and, you know, and just I think the whole concept altogether is like to really get an idea of the music of Alice Coltrane and how it's being continued and like, you know, the future of that music.
So in January, 10 years ago, we had the memorial, which had the singers were here and the band. And this is, I believe, going to be more celebratory than anything else. Mm-hmm. And it'll be a different setting. It'll be a different mood. I think it'll really be a beautiful evening all together. The singers are going to sing at sunset. It's going to be beautiful. You know, I mean, I'm over the moon.
So The Ecstatic World of Alice Coltrane, Turiya Sanchitananda concert closing the Red Bull Music Academy on May 21st, Sunday, at the Knockdown Center in Queens. Brandi Younger will be there. Courtney Bryan will be there. I will certainly be there. It's going to be the place to be. And I should also say that the compilation album on Luwaka Bop is out now. It's called World Spirituality Classics 1, The Ecstatic Music of Alice Coltrane, Turiya Sanchitananda. And I want to thank Brandi Younger and Courtney Bryan for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. I can't wait for this performance, and can't wait to hear what you guys are going to do with this music.
Awesome.
This is Nate Chenin for The Checkout.
Mm-hmm.
That's music composed for Alice Coltrane by the late legendary bassist Charlie Hayden for Turiya from Ravi Coltrane's recording Blending Times, joining him, the harpist Brandy Younger. This Sunday, May 21st, in the evening time, Brandy Younger, Ravi Coltrane, and many others will be celebrating the ecstatic world of Alice Coltrane, Turiya Satchitananda, at the Red Bull Music Academy in New York, 2017. This is at the Knockdown Center on Flushing Avenue in Maspeth. There will be a sunset set, the Sai Anatam singers, and special guests, followed by Ravi Coltrane, Brandy Younger, and many others. Thanks to Brandy Younger and Courtney Bryan for joining us on this special edition of The Checkout, and a special thanks to Nate Shannon for interviewing them. If you want to hear the full interview again, go to our website at checkoutjazz.org, or better yet, just subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, The Checkout from WBGO, which is a production of WBGO Newark. I'd like to give a special shout out to our production intern, Jasmine Murray, and another special thanks to producer Molly Fichter. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark.